I've invited Jacob Sullum back onto the show this afternoon. We've talked to Jacob a couple of times before when marijuana stories and illegal drugs have been in the news. He wrote a book about 3 or 4 years ago called Saying Yes. And I've invited him back this afternoon to talk about a push by the government, particularly the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, to continue those commercials on TV that supposedly convince kids not to use marijuana. But a report last year by the GAO, the Government Accounting Office, nonpartisan group, said that they may actually have exactly the opposite effect. Jacob, welcome back to KMOX.
Thank you.
Am I reading the report correctly?
Yeah. I mean, the GAO actually looked at a study that was commissioned by the government to track the effects of these anti-drug ads based on surveys that, first of all, look at exposure, which they measure by recall of the ads, and then they want to look at what kind of impact do the ads have. So they ask kids about their attitudes toward drugs and also about how likely they are to use, you know, for example, to smoke marijuana. They also ask parents about their feelings about talking to their kids about drugs and whether they plan to do that. So they use several different measures to try to assess whether these ads are having any effect. And at best, they're having no effect, is what the study found. This is looking at ads, by the way, from beginning in 1998 on through 2004. And at worst, they may actually be encouraging some teenagers who otherwise would not have to smoke pot. They found that in some groups of teenagers during some years, the ones who were more exposed to the ads were actually more likely to smoke pot.
So talk about exactly the wrong effect. The kids are seeing these and thinking pot looks cool?
Well, one theory is that they see these ads and they're led to believe that pot smoking is more common than it actually is. Now, according to the surveys of drug use, pot smoking is actually going down, has been going down in the last few years. But if a teenager thinks that everybody's doing it, he may be someone more likely to try it than he would otherwise be. So that's one theory about what sort of effect these ads have and why they might actually increase drug use. Another one is that people look at these ads and they find them incredible. You know, they can't. In other words, they don't believe them, and they reject the whole message. And there's sort of this boomerang effect where it has the opposite. Its effect is opposite of what's intended because the kids reject the message and perhaps rebel against it.
All right, now let's just rewind about 60 seconds here. You said that marijuana use is actually on the decline.
Right.
So why can't the people who make these ads and the ONDCP, which places these ads and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, why can't they say fewer kids are using drugs, therefore we're being successful?
Well, they can and they do. But that's what you call in logic post hoc ergo propter hoc reasoning, which is if something happens, if B happens after A, then A must have caused B, and it's not necessarily true. Basically, drug use goes up and down over time, and if you want to know what the impact of a particular policy is, you have to try to link it more closely to the effect. You can be sure, by the way, that if drug use had been going up in the last few years, that also would be cited as a reason for spending more money on these ads.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes,
it doesn't really.
You
I
see
mean,
why we need these ads? Look what's happening. The chart is pointing up.
But that tells you something that no matter what the data show, it's going to be an excuse for spending more money on the program. But in point of fact, when they actually looked at the relationship between being exposed to these ads and likelihood of using drugs, they found that at best it had no effect.
All right. So
then you really have to look. You can't just look at, oh, we spent all this money and then sometime later, you know, fewer kids were smoking pot.
So you've studied this. What is a valid reason for the fact that fewer kids are using marijuana and other illegal drugs? Is it really just cyclical?
Yeah, well, I mean, just cyclical doesn't really explain much, but it clearly is cyclical. I mean, if you look at the history of drug use in America, it goes up and down. There are certain fashions. Certain drugs like cocaine become fashionable, and then people start to see that they're maybe not what they're cracked up to be, so to speak, and they become less likely to use them. Marijuana became increasingly popular over the course of the 70s. Its use among teenagers peaked, as measured by the surveys, in the late 70s, around 79. And it has never been as high as it was then, again, according to the government's data.
That was the height of the Grateful Dead's popularity.
Yeah.
And by the way, that is A and B. That's definitely cause and effect right there.
Well, I mean, if you look at LSD, that popularity of that also goes up and down. And, of course, it's never been anywhere near as popular as marijuana. But that's another thing where you see it's always a small percentage, but sometimes that small percentage is higher than others. And it's very hard to say exactly, you know, to tie it to a particular tour by the Grateful Dead or whatever. But
yeah, I'm not sure which was A and which was B in there, but I'm sure there's a cause and effect relationship between those two. But let me ask you about the real cause and effect with any kind of advertising, cutting down on any kind of drug use, because we're talking specifically here about marijuana. Has there been anything done by any institution, whether it's governmental or otherwise, in terms of advertising? I'm not talking about rehab and that sort of thing. I'm talking about advertising that has had an effect on meth use, coke use, LSD use, heroin use, crack use, etc.
There's nothing that has had a demonstrable effect. And what I mean by that is there's nothing where they've got research of the kind that I was describing where they find that exposure to the ads is associated with less drug use or, you know, less inclination to use drugs. In the area of illegal drugs, there's basically no evidence to support what they're doing.
How much money are we spending on this lack of evidence?
Well, in total, I mean, it depends. If you count the money that the networks are effectively kicking in by providing the air some, you know, free airtime, it's billions of dollars over the years, over $1 billion for the original plan for the youth media campaign. The particular, the spending by the government, they spent about $100 million last year, and Bush wants to spend $130 million. So that's a pretty sizable increase for a program that is demonstrably failing.
That would be a 30% increase if my math is anywhere close to correct.
Isn't it nice that they did it that way? It's easy to calculate. Obviously it pales in comparison to what we're spending on the war in Iraq, but it's still a nice chunk of change, and it's quite a substantial increase in what is supposed to be a fiscally conservative budget where they're really trying to bring spending down. I mean, that would be the first place to start, you'd think. This is a program that the OMB has said gets a 6% score in terms of accountability. That means, you know, does it do what it's supposed to do? That's not a good score.
Before I let you go, Jacob, Tom Riley from the Office of National Drug Control Policy says that what matters in the end is balancing the kind of messages teens hear. He says, quote, teens are saturated with pro-drug messages from rap music, from movies, and from other teens around them. The campaign is the only national source of anti-drug messages, and it is vital to continue funding it. How do you respond to that?
Well, they don't really care whether it works or not. They like the symbolism of it. They like the fact, as he said, that they're countering what they take to be pernicious speech with what they hope will be beneficial speech. But there's no evidence to indicate that it's actually going to have a practical impact. It makes them feel better. There's no question it makes them feel better to have these, you know, conspicuous ads on TV condemning marijuana use. And, you know, maybe that's worth spending $130 million a year so that people like Riley can feel better. I don't know.
Jacob Solomon's a senior writer at Reason Magazine. His book, was it 2003 the book came out?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a terrific read. It's called Saying Yes, and it goes into all of these stories and really dissects them and says, here's what's not working, why do we keep doing it, and here is yet another example. Thanks for your time, as always, Jacob.
Thank you.
Jacob Sullum here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.